Open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 4, verse 4. Matthew chapter 4, verse 4 says, this is Jesus, and he was confronting the devil. Well, the devil had come to tempt him. He answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Don't you find it curious that Jesus, when dealing with the devil, he dealt with him with the word of God? Told him just exactly the way it was. He said, it is written. You know, Jesus said he had to use the word of God. So it makes sense that we would have to use the word of God. And here's another really neat thing is a guy could have two or three scriptures for your challenge, and you can tell the devil, it is written. With the long life, will God satisfy me and show me his salvation? You know, we just copycat Jesus in a lot of ways. That's the best thing. Now go to James chapter 1, verse 22. James chapter 1, verse 22 says, but be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Well, today we're going to be talking about meditation. And the Word of God is the very focal point of meditation. And meditation literally means walking around mumbling to yourself, saying the Word of God. Actually just repeating scripture. And don't worry if you don't have it memorized. Just pick up the Bible and memorize it. I mean, you don't have to memorize it, but just pick up the Bible and say it. Say what God says. And you do that enough, pretty soon it's going to get on your heart, and it will get in your memory. I know this from practice. It was hard for me to remember stuff. It was hard for me to, you know, I'd take a scripture and I'd get so frustrated. I'd say, man, I looked at this thing for 2 days and I don't have it memorized. That's rather naive of people to think that way. I heard somebody say it takes 30 days to break a bad habit. In 30 days to create a new habit. So don't worry if it takes you a little while to memorize something. Just out of curiosity, how long did it take you to memorize the alphabet? It takes a while. I watched little kids, you know, when we kept Anastasia, we had the alphabet cut out in letters and had it on taped to the wall going down the hallway. And I watched her struggle with that and struggle with that and struggle with it. And then pretty soon, one day, she sang her ABCs. And that was pretty cool. Well, it's no different with us when we get into the Word of God, you know. Unless you just happened to be like the Hebrews and started learning it from day one, and actually had the first five books of the Bible memorized, give yourself a little slack. Amen. But here's the thing. Don't get too hung up on memorization. You know, there's contests. People have these Bible memorization contests. And I actually knew of a lady. I didn't know this. I didn't know there's two of them. I didn't know these two personally, but I knew of them. But you could say a scripture and they could quote the whole chapter before it and the whole chapter after it. Now, they had it memorized, and they had wrecks for lives. They had it memorized. They didn't have it personalized. They didn't have a revelation of it. They just had the words memorized. Sounds a lot like the Jewish people. They didn't get much out of it. They didn't put faith to it because they didn't have a revelation of it. Now go to Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. You could say that Joshua had a big, big job. Moses had been leading millions of people. And he led them right up to the promised land. And Moses wasn't going to go in. So God needed a new leader. And he chose Joshua. And here in verse 1 it says, "Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of your life, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swore unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." Verse 8 is the key right here. So literally, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night. Literally, all the time. Keeping it fresh on your heart, fresh on your mind, meditating on it day and night. This is the secret of obedience, which in turn is a secret of success. You know, with the Word will cause you to just do the right thing. The Word will cause you to do the right thing, and it won't be a struggle. That sounds hard to believe. But you'll have that witness of the Holy Spirit inside of you, and He'll bring it to remembrance. He'll cause you to do the right thing. Now go to Psalm chapter 1. Psalm chapter 1, verse 1 said, blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Now this shows us seven acts of a righteous man with the Word. Now remember, you're a righteous man when you get born again. Amen. You already are a righteous man. Doing these seven things is not going to make you a righteous man. But these seven things are things that a righteous man will do just because he is a righteous man in right standing with God. Amen. Number one, we'll find it in verse 2. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law does he meditate day and night. So number one, he's going to take delight in the Word of God. You know, you can literally take comfort in his Word. When you read his Bible, when you read his words, you can take comfort. And it should cause some excitement in you when you learn something new. I think it's pretty cool. I learn something new all the time. I look at something and I say, man, I didn't even know that was in there. And I know I read it. But the Holy Spirit will bring it to me in a different light. I heard an interesting thing. You could take the same scripture, and you could have an apostle, a prophet, a pastor, a teacher, and an evangelist. You can have them all preach on that one scripture, and they'll come at you five different ways. It'll all be different. But it'll be that same scripture. How can that be? You're not ever going to get God in a nice, happy little box. But different people can reach different people. The second thing that a righteous man does is he meditates in it day and night. There's something about meditating on the Word of God that causes your body to calm down, causes your mind to calm down, and causes you to relax a little bit. And for some reason, it causes you to be more efficient and at more peace. I wonder why that is. Because one thing about meditating on the Word of God, when you're meditating those scriptures, you're actually praising God. And when you praise God, you still the avenger. That's good news. He needs to be put still. Go to verse 1. Blessed is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. A righteous man will consecrate to obey God's word. He'll set himself aside to obey that. See, when you get born again, you do get consecrated. You get set apart. But you can actually do things to get deeper into that consecration. You know, you can let things of the world go away and focus more totally on the Word of God. And you're actually getting more consecrated by what you're doing there. That's one of the things, you know, that is a new creation reality. You do get consecrated when you get born again, but you can actually deepen that, you know, to the point where, I don't know if any of you have ever read Wayne Myers or heard of him or even know much about him, but he is so consecrated to that word that the worldly items just had absolutely no pull on him. You know, a refrigerator is a nice thing to have. Wasn't absolutely necessary because he gave it away. A table was good to have. A car, that was just something to give away. People would buy him a new car and he'd give it to some pastor in Mexico. Serious. And then he wouldn't be able to get to where he was going. So finally, somebody gave him a car, but they wouldn't sign the title over to him. He only had transportation to get where he was going. But literally, the things of the world just had no pull on him. He was so consecrated to the things of God that none of that stuff mattered. The only thing that mattered to him was God and his kingdom. The people around him. You know, the last I heard, he had started over 7,500 churches around the world. And he would go start a church somewhere. He'd go do a meeting somewhere. And he'd tell these people, said, "You build the walls and I'll build the roof." And then, you know, we actually participated in one of those roofs. We paid for some church in a foreign country to get a roof. And then that was pretty good. I think my pastor does about 4 roofs a month. It's just good ground. It's good soil. It's a good investment in the kingdom. But that's almost total consecration. So you can get deeper and deeper into that. Look at, you know, when we looked at James chapter 1, verse 22 and verse 27, we'll go back over there real quick. Just keep it fresh on our mind. We'll look at verse 25. It said, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." He'll make it his rule of life and conduct. He'll look at that, and that's what he'll try to build his life upon, that rock, that word. He'll make it his rule of life and his actual conduct. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. It says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works." That Greek word there for perfect is actually artios, which means You're complete. You're exactly fitted as a joint. That doesn't mean you're not going to make mistakes. But you're fitted in there. You got it going on. You've been looking at this. You've been studying it. You're growing by it. And it actually says that the man of God may be thoroughly fitted and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, those good works, that's implying, you know, that would kind of imply the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But you're not going to know about the gifts of the Holy Spirit if you don't study the Word of God, if you don't let that be your guide. Amen? Another thing that a man will do, he'll read the Word of God to get knowledge and wisdom. Let's look at Matthew chapter 24, verse 15. Matthew chapter 24, verse 15. It says, when you therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso readeth, let him understand. See, when you read the Bible, you'll be looking for understanding. You'll get knowledge and wisdom. So whoso readeth, let him understand. Sometimes you may have to just sit there and camp on a scripture and just look at it and ponder it for a while. I'm curious by nature, and sometimes I'll read the Bible and I'll look at it and I'll think, how is this? It is a good thing to learn. Somebody said when you're reading the Bible, you need to understand something about the culture, the customs, the climate, the geography, the terrain. So then I started looking at these maps and looking at how things were going, you know, and sometimes these guys would take these mountainous trails. You know, sometimes they'd have to go into some deep, dark places. And then I was really surprised. For the longest time, I had always heard said, it is almost as impossible for a rich man to get saved as it is for a camel to get through the eye of a needle. Well, my Western mind was thinking a little tiny hole in a needle that you almost have to have a magnifying glass for. But then I read the customs of the times, and when they had closed the gate at night to keep people out, there was actually a hole in the wall. And they called it the eye of the needle. And a camel would have to go up to this wall, and they'd train these camels to get down on their knees and crawl through this hole, but they could get in. That makes more sense to me. Because getting through the eye of a pin needle would be impossible. And that would make God an unjust God. Especially when he said, all that call on the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved. Amen? Although sometimes people have a hard time letting go of the things of the world to enter into the kingdom of God. That's unfortunate. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 4. Whereby, when you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. The Bible talks a lot about us taking time to understand what's in there. We need to understand. And the only way to understand this is to meditate on it, to get a revelation of it in our heart. You know, Kenneth Hagin called it Rhema. You get a Rhema. That's what he called his school, was Rhema, Rhema Bible School. He got a revelation of it in his heart. And that's the same way we do when we look at something enough and we sit there and look at it and ponder it and ponder it and ponder it and look at it. You will eventually get a revelation of what that means. Now, don't get mad because you look at something for 2 or 3 days or 2 or 3 weeks, 2 or 3 months, and sit there and think, oh, I'm not ever going to get this. And you look at it some more, and you study it, and you try to understand it, and then all of a sudden, one day over a plate of Mexican food, you just all of a sudden know what it means. Just out of the blue, just all of a sudden know what it means. That's the Holy Spirit dropping it into you. Amen. Sometimes we got to get out of the way and just let Him bring that revelation to us. We try to get it up here, and you're not going to get that true revelation by head knowledge. You're going to know it in here. The things that you know in here are much more powerful than what you know up here. Amen? One thing a righteous man does is he'll feed on the Word of God to grow spiritually. I don't care how long you've been born again, you still have room to grow. And a need to grow. This really just twisted my little thinker. When Meyer said, if your testimony is more than 24 hours old, you're backsliding. I thought, phew. I'm not there yet. Well, we still have room to grow. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2. See, and that's one of the things I noticed about people. They hang around for a little bit, and, you know, they're kind of going along, and then they kind of stall out, and they get frustrated. They say, well, I've been hanging around for a year. Why ain't I doing the things that some of these other people do? Well, I've been hanging around for 5 years. How come this isn't happening for me? Just slow down. Just slow down. Everybody has room to grow. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Sometimes we don't grow at the rate we think we should because we're hanging on to some things that we shouldn't. You know, I don't know if you've ever noticed, but redemption is a messy process. And I get frustrated with Christians when somebody comes in and they get born again, and, you know, their life is just a wreck. I don't know about you guys, but I didn't get born again because my life was so rosy. was in a train wreck. And it stayed a train wreck after I got born again. And I had people tell me I wasn't born again because the train wreck was still happening. What they didn't understand is I'd pick up a light here and I'd pick up a light there, and then I'd pick up another light, and I'd walk in a little more light. Wasn't perfect. It's still a mess. Still a mess. But then I'd get a little more light, and then I'd get a little more light here. And then pretty soon, people started noticing the light. They started noticing the light more than what they remembered about the past. That was a relief. That was a relief. Look at Romans chapter 10, verse 17. You know, you can get addicted to the Word. You can get addicted to reading the Bible. That's an addiction that's not going to hurt you. That's a good thing, isn't it? Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." The Bible tells us that the just shall live by faith. So that's one of our things that we need to do, is to live by faith. And here's the key to getting that faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So we can listen to the Word of God preached. We can watch TV. We can listen to anointed preaching tapes. Going to church helps. We can also get it by reading the Bible and then hear ourselves say it sometimes. There's several ways that faith, you know, that we can get the Word, but faith is only going to come by hearing the Word of God. Faith is not going to come by seeing miracles. Faith is not going to come by seeing all these other things. Here's the thing, though. When somebody sees something happen, it catches their interest. It gets their attention. And then they start saying, "Well, I just seen God do something." You know, if God did it for you, He could do it for me. See, this is one of the things that's important about your testimony. Not your war story, but your testimony. What God did for you. Amen? So somebody hears you say it, they can say, "Wow, maybe I got a chance. Maybe I can get that." You know, some circles call it experience, strength, and hope. One thing about a lot of Christians is they don't want anybody to know their past. They don't want their reputation to be tarnished. Well, I'm glad my reputation was completely smashed before I got born again. The thing, I don't mind saying that God brought me right up out of the pit of hell, right out of the dung pile, right out of the dung heap. He didn't get nothing. When He got me born again, He got the bad end of the deal. I got the good in, and that was the worst horse trade I think ever. He didn't get much at all. So you can just imagine sometimes why I sit there at night and think, why am I even here? I've never, ever felt qualified to be a preacher. I never felt like I deserved it. I never felt like I earned it. I always just thought, that is just so weird. The only thing I did was become available. That's the key, is be available. Now, here's the thing about availability. If you're going to be available, be available. What happens is a lot of people say, I'm ready to go do some things in the kingdom. And somebody else say, okay, we got to go over here and do this. Say, well, I got to work. Or I got to, you know, I can't be gone for a week. I got bills to pay. I can't go to Texas. I got a house. I got a mortgage. I got a job. Were you available? There's another kicker. God's got a better house in store for you and a better job. But it's availability. That's what I've found to be. That's the only thing, that is the only thing that I've ever come up with on why I got used. Because I was just available. There was people I went to Bible school that knew the Bible way better than I did. There were people that have been in church way longer than I have. There were people in there that could play and sing. They could play musical instruments. They could sing. There's people in there that had all kinds of connections. But it was availability. But I had to meditate on that word and get it in my heart, you might say, to convince myself that things were going to be okay. Yeah. What you see and what you think you know isn't always the way it turns out. You know? And when the first time I come to Fort Davis, I looked at this place, and it looked like a bomb went off. I was sad. It was right after the fire, and the grass was black everywhere. If it wasn't brown, it was black. And stuff was burned, and stuff looked terrible, and I thought, oh, you want me to go to, oh my God, I'm going to have to pray about this one. And I remember just as clear as a bell, I after about 3 months of praying hard, I got to my gate to get on the road to go to work. I got out, I closed the gate, got back in the pickup, and I just stopped and I said, God, I finally got myself into a position where I'm in the blessing. The blessing is on me. I got a good job. I love my church. I got a company pickup. I got a house. Things are great. He said, son, the blessing's on the inside of you. Yeah, I thought, that was the first time I realized that. The blessing is on the inside of you. See, there's something you can meditate on. Figure out how to get that blessing to come out of you to create a whole new existence for you. Amen? Thank you, Father. We thank you in the name of Jesus for your word and the love of your Son, Jesus. He loved us before we could even think about loving you. And it's because he loves us that we can love you. because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. That's what makes us have the ability to love you with all our heart, all our soul, and all our mind, and all our body. But it's because you first loved us. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.